Okay, today's daf is Bava Metzia daf Pei Hey. We left off in the middle of a story on daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis. We were learning the story about how Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon died. He was left up in the attic for several years, somewhere between 18 and 22 years. People used to come for Dinei Torah to him while he was in the attic. But finally, after he was buried, because his father came in a dream saying, "Look, I only want my son to be buried with me," and finally they managed to get him buried. So Rebbe sent a message to his wife asking if she wanted to marry him. And she said, "It's inappropriate that someone who's married to such an Ishkadosh, such a special person like Rabbi Shimon, should be married to someone as lowly as you." And Rebbe said, "Wait a second, he may have been greater than me in Torah, but greater than me in Maisim Tovim? I don't think so. Who's greater than me in Maisim Tovim?" And her response was, "I don't really know much about Torah. I don't know if he was greater than you in Torah or not greater than you in Torah. But one thing I do know is that he was certainly greater than you in Maisim Tovim, because he had all those Yisurin for all those years, and he would wish it upon himself every night and wish it to go away every single morning in order to be able to learn Torah. And that certainly, in terms of Maisim Tovim, that certainly reflects very well upon him. And I can't imagine that anyone else is his equal in Maisim Tovim." So that's where we left off yesterday. Just one quick ha'ara. I referenced the essay but didn't mention what he says. The Maariv Chayis is bothered by a lot of parts of that story. The Maariv Chayis writes, he says, The Maariv Chayis writes, here it is, he says, "Kvaris Orer Hamarisha b'chidushe agados, hare kvura min haTorah." The mitzvah of kvura is a mitzvah d'oraisa. "Ve'eich tziva shelo yikburuhu." How could Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon ask not to be buried? "Ukvaris Orer b'zeh b'sefer Chasidim," and the Sefer Chasidim already asks this. "Uke'eis ein sefro tachas yadi," he says, "but I don't happen to have a Sefer Chasidim on me, so I don't know what he says." "Achein, Kala Maimrazen Nira Tamui," he says, "but that's not where the questions stop. That's where the questions begin in this story. There's so many questions. Eichlo Yada Ishto Bebiru Mispar Shinos of Shaya Manoach Baliyah." How could his wife not have known how many years he was up in the attic dead? Right, whether it was 18 years or 22 years, very strange. She says it was no less than 18, no more than 22. How could she be off by so much? "V'gam ha'shasafra shadan dine mamanis, v'chi mutu ladim lahoros, v'chi agavna, v'rek siv lo b'shamayim hi." And also that it says that people would come with dine mamanis shaylas, and they would scream up to the attic, "My time is this," and the other one would say, "My time is this," and then a baskel would come out and would say, "You're ish pol niyata zaka, ish pol niyata chayev." Why is that allowed? Don't we have a rule in this very mesechta, just a couple of weeks ago, lo b'shamayim hi, that you're not allowed to judge dinei Torah based on heavenly intervention? "Ve'ela mitzvah she'navi rashi lechadish davar va'asu lodin mikoach nevuah ruach hakodesh." You're not allowed to dan based on nevuah ruach hakodesh. "V'rabba sham b'shas misa b'heres kodim l'seir lovin tahar v'kol zos lo paska ram perek b'ez milch t'mastaras kamoso." Rabba, at his death, the last words that he said were b'heres kodim l'seir lovin is tahar, that the halacha that they argued about, when the b'heres comes before the seir lovin in the mitzvah, when it comes to tzaras, he said tahar, and the Rambam says, "No, we don't pass like that. Lo b'shamayim hi." Kesef Mishnah explains, the Rambam passes against that because lo b'shamayim hi. And whatever is said at the time the person is dying is considered to be said b'shamayim, because he's already seeing the great light or whatever, and he's already given a little bit of a peek into the other side. That's lo b'shamayim hi. So says Maariv Chayis, if that's lo b'shamayim hi, could you imagine years after the person died? I would imagine that's for sure lo b'shamayim hi. So why is that allowed? Why is it okay over here that he's paskening al pi nevuah, al pi ruach kodesh, whatever it is, that a dead man is paskening the halacha? So he says, perhaps the only, he doesn't answer all of his questions, but he answers that last one. He said, maybe with dinei mamonos it's different, because maybe when it comes to a dinei mamonos case, both parties, by definition, by the fact that they're submitting to this higher power, whatever you want to call it, are saying that we're mochel, whatever the result of this question is going to be, whatever the answer comes back, we're going to be mochel. Not that we necessarily assume that this is the din, but that we're willing to be mochel that. And that's therefore okay, but to be done in Isser V'Heter, to pask in Isser V'Heter, that would be a violation of Lo B'Shamayim. So again, let's pick up where we left off. So the Gemara said, where are we? Yeah, so Batora Maihi, it's about 10-12 lines before the end of the page. The last one on the line is Rabban. Batora Maihi, what do we mean when we said that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon is greater than Rabbi in Torah? The Chaviyasu Rabbi Shimon Gamliel of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Asafsali, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha would sit up on benches. Yasvi Kamayu, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Ara. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi were the Talmidim that would sit on the ground. Makshu Mufarku, and they would ask questions and answer them. It was Leibedik discussions in Torah. Amri Meimeyan Anushosim Mehem Yoshim Al Gabi Karka. So the Rebbeim said about the Talmidim, look, we're sitting there drinking from the waters of their Torah, and they're sitting on the ground. It doesn't make sense. They're so great already. They're already as great as us. They shouldn't be sitting on the ground. So Avdulu Safsali. So they made them benches in Askinu, and they raised them up to sit on benches like the Rebbeim. Amalah and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said to them, "Wait a second. What are you doing? Pray da achas yeshli beneichem. I have one special son over there, meaning Rebbe was his son, was Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's son. He said, I have one special son, v'atem mevakshim lav de'emeni, and you're trying to make him lost from me? What does it mean you're trying to make him lost from me? They just gave him kavod. He said, yes, that's exactly right. It's going to be an ayin hara. People are going to see such a young man, and you're giving him such kavod. You're putting him up on a bench. That's not healthy for him. You're trying to be ma'abid him, because the ayin hara is going to get the best of him. Or alternatively, he was worried about gaiva. He said, he's young, he's impressionable. You give him too much kavod, and he's going to become a bal gaiva. So what are you doing? I don't want that to happen. I don't want him to be raised up on a bench. It reminds me of the story they say in Rav Moshe Feinstein's biography. I think even the one that the family wrote at the beginning of the 8th volume of Igros Moshe said that when he was a very young man, when he was 12 or 13, a young boy, he walked into a room and his father, Rav David, was meeting with a number of other Rabbanim, and Rav Moshe at that time already, I think, knew Nashim Nezikin very well, and he walked into the room and the other Rabbanim stood up for him. And Rav David got very angry at the other Rabbanim, Rav Moshe's father, and he said, "Sit down, don't do that to my son." Meaning he was worried that it was going to cause him to become a bal gaiva. You don't give someone kavod at such a young age. You give him too much kavod at such a young age. He was worried about ruining him, about making him a bal gaiva. So Shimon Gamliel says, "What are you doing? My son Rebbe, I don't want him to be given this kind of kavod so quickly. It's not healthy for him." So Achtul Rebbe, so they put Rebbe back down. So Amalehen Rebbe Yeshua ben Karcha. So Rebbe Yeshua ben Karcha said, "Wait a second. So now Rebbe's back down. Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon is still up though. Why? Misheyesh lo'av yichya, misheyin lo'av yamos. Is that fair that someone who has a father should be able to have his father defend him so that he shouldn't face this danger of being brought up onto a chair prematurely, and someone who doesn't have a father who's still alive, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's father was no longer alive, so he should have to suffer. He should be the one that's given this kavod when he's not really ready for it, and he's going to be subject to the ayin hara or subject to whatever dangers come with sitting on the high chair." Sa'achtu nami Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So they knocked Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon back down to the ground as well. So Chalosh Daiter, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon got upset because he didn't understand his demotion. He didn't understand why he was put back on the ground. Amar, he said, Kachashvisulei Kavasi. They think me and Rebbe are the same. Right? They put Rebbe back down because obviously they didn't think he was ready for it. They must have thought that I'm just like Rebbe, that we're on the same level. And that upset him. Imagine, it was upsetting to find out he's on the same level as Rebbe Danasi. Ada hu yoma ki ava amar Rebbe Milsa hav mesayele Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. Now up until that day, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon played nice. Whenever Rebbe would say something, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon would bring support to whatever Rebbe was saying. Mikan ve'elach, after that, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon says, if they're missing the boat over here and they think that I'm on the same level as Rebbe, no more Mr. Nice Guy over here. Ki ava amar Rebbe yeshli lahashiv, as soon as Rebbe would raise his hand, as soon as Rebbe would open his mouth and say, "Wait, I have an answer," Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon says, "Oh, I know what your answer is. Your answer is this and that and the other thing. Zui chubascha, and my response to your answer is the following." And he would always knock it right down. Hashi kaftanu chuvos chavilos she'im be'en mamish. And look, you're surrounding us with all these different answers that don't have any substance to them. Chalash daite de Rebbe. So Rebbe obviously was very upset by this. So he went and he told his father, he said, "I don't know what's going on. It used to be that we were pretty much the same, and now he's a lion. He's knocking me down every chance he gets, and I have nothing to respond. He's so much stronger than me in learning. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon is stronger than me." And that's why when Rebbe when Rebbe asked Rabbi Elazar Rebbe Shimon's wife to marry him, he said, look, I know he's greater than me in Torah. That I understand. But in Meisim, he didn't understand. Right? Why did he understand that he was greater than him in Torah? This is the Meisim, because he had the experience of Rabbi Elazar Rebbe Shimon on a daily basis, embarrassing him in Torah, in terms of his Torah knowledge. Amalei, so Rebbe's father said to him, Bini, Al Yera Lecha, don't be upset by that. Shehu Ari Ben Ari. There's something called Zichos Avos. He's an Ari, the son of an Ari. His father was a very great man. V'ata Ari Ben Shual. But you're the an Ari, the son of a fox. It's not because of you, it's because of me. It's my shortcomings that reflect themselves in the Beis Medrash when you're learning with him. And that's, now keep in mind, Who's talking over here? Who is Rebbe's father? We're talking about Rabbi Shimon Gamliel talking. And he's saying that it's my shortcomings, it's because I'm not great enough, that's why you're suffering in the Beis Medrash. So Rebbe, this caused Rebbe to remark, Vahenu Dama Rebbe, Shlosha and Vasanin Hain. Ve'elu Hain, there are three people who are truly humble that I've ever seen, and they are Abba, Ubnei Beseira, V'Yonasan Ben Shaul. My father, because of this comment, his father showed his incredible humility, that he thought that it was on his account that he wasn't great enough, and that's why his son was suffering. Now, why should it matter? In terms of Talmud Chacham, to become a Talmud Chacham, you need a father who was a Talmud Chacham. I thought you could become a Talmud Chacham just through hard work and everything else. Why should it matter that the father was a Talmud Chacham? So, in reality, there are advantages to having a father who's a Talmud Chacham. You have the advantage of being able to constantly hear Torah from him as he's growing up, and to constantly have his mind sharpened by him as he's growing up. So it could be that in that level he said, look, his father was a great Talmud Chacham, so he's obviously going to be sharper, but that shouldn't minimize what you've accomplished in your own efforts in learning, in spite of the handicap of having only Rabbi Shimon Gamliel as your father. But Rebbe said, what an honor my father is. Look who he is, and this is how he talks about himself. And he said, B'nai B'seira and Yonasan Ben Shaul were also tremendously humble people. Now obviously Rebbe was also known, the Gemara's at the end of the Ksubas talk about the humility of Rebbe. Rebbe, obviously, he was raised by a very humble father, and he was raised to be a very humble person himself, and he was also a very humble man. The Gemara in the end of Sotah, the Mishnah in the end of Sotah, Mishemes Rebbe Batla Anava, that when Rebbe died, true humility died with him. I mean, that was the last of the truly humble people. Rebbe was the last of the truly humble people. So obviously his chinuch worked, but anyway, and he admired humble people. So what was with B'nai B'seira and Yonasan Ben Shaul? So B'nai B'seira is a Gemara Maseches Pesachim, that the B'nai B'seira were living in Eretz Yisrael, and they weren't sure what the halacha is when Erev Pesach fell on Shabbos, whether you're supposed to bring Karban Pesach on Shabbos or not. And none of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael knew, and they were the Nesiim in Eretz Yisrael, so they sent a message to Hillel to come from Bavel, and Hillel told them the halacha. Hillel says, what do you mean? Why should the Karban Pesach not be brought on Shabbos? Karban Pesach is just a glorified Karban Tamid. Karban Tamid is brought every single day of the year, including Shabbos. So what's the big deal? Of course you're going to bring Karban Pesach on Shabbos. And they said, ah, he's greater than us, and immediately they gave up the Nesiyas from their own family, and they gave it to Hillel and his descendants. So that was their anivus, that they were willing to forego it. Now, Hillel, for his part, the Gemara over there says, criticized them. And he said, you know what, if you would have listened to Shmaya and Naftalion when they were teaching, you had an opportunity to learn from Gedolim. And look, how can you, and you have to rely on me? You have to rely on me to come from Bavel to rescue you because you don't know the halacha? It's a terrible thing. And he gave them Musar. And then another Shaila came up, and Hillel didn't know the answer. And that was his divine retribution for being too tough on them and acting in a slightly gavidic fashion toward them by saying by criticizing them that they didn't learn enough, but and they had to rely on him. But anyway, that was the end of the story. But the point is, the B'nai B'seira showed tremendous humility by being willing to give up for that one Shaila, giving up the Nesiyas. Yonasan ben Shaul, also tremendous humility. Well, the Gemara is going to say, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel had Yamin. B'nai B'seira, Damar Maro, Shaviyu B'ro, Shaminu, L'Nasi Alein. The B'nai B'seira put Hillel as the Rosh and appointed him as the Nasi. Yonasan ben Shaul, the Kamalei David, Va'ata Timloch al Yisrael, Va'ni E'e L'chal Mishnah. Yonasan ben Shaul says to David, he says, you're going to be the king and I'll be your second in command. And that shows the tremendous anivus of Yonasan ben Shaul, because Yonasan ben Shaul was the son of the king. He was the one that was the heir apparent to the throne. And yet he says to David, you'll be the king. thing, I'll be your vice president, and that's fine by me. And he's perfectly happy to take a back seat to David HaMelech. And that's why, by the way, the Mishnah in Avos, when it talks about the Ahava of Yonasan ben Shaul and David, refers to an Ahava she'enu tzliya b'David, that's the ultimate Ahava. It's not just that the Ahava is not dependent on convenience or on any sort of common interest or something like that. No, it's that the Ahava, they had every reason to hate each other. They had every reason to want each other dead and to be rivals with each other. After all, if one of them becomes king, the other one can't. One of these two guys was going to be the next king. So they had every reason to hate each other, and still they had this tremendous Ahava. That's the Ahava Sheinu Tluya B'Davar. And that's the Anivus of Yonasan Ben Shaul saying that I'll be happy to be second in command. He reminds me a little bit, Rav Shachter writes in Mipnine Arav, that when Rav Soloveitchik first came to America, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky wanted to start a yeshiva with him. And he said to Rav Soloveitchik, you'll be the Rosh Shiva and I'll be the Mashkiach. So the Anivus of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, he was willing to say, Rav Soloveitchik will be the Rosh Shiva, he was willing to take a back seat and be the Mashkiach. Okay, so anyway, that's a level of Anivus. So anyway, so he says, Mimai, Tilma Yonasan Ben Shal, the Chaz of the Garir Alma, Basra David. Nami, he says, wait a second, is this really Anivus? Maybe Yonasan Ben Shaul realized that there was a major movement to make David the king, and that people were following David, and people weren't so thrilled with keeping the Malchus in Shaul's family, so it was a losing battle to try to become king himself. And maybe the B'nai B'Seira made Hillel the Nasi because he deserved it more. And it wasn't just pure Anivus, it was because he really was more deserving than they were. So that's not the ultimate in Anivus. Look, it still takes courage, and it still takes, you know, a big man to do that, but that's not like the greatest Anivus. There's no answer to that. He was for sure a tremendous Anav. Amar Rabbi Chavivin Yisurin. Rabbi says that Yisurin are so chaviv, Yisurin are so phenomenal, they're so special, they're so beloved. Now, where did he learn that they're so beloved? Because again, he tried to marry Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon's wife, and said that, I think I'm greater in Meisim than he is. And what was the wife's response? No, you're not. Look at the Yisurin that he suffered. So Rabbi says, wow, I guess Yisurin are pretty special. Yisurin are very beloved. Now, what it happens to be, this is an oft-quoted phrase, Chaviv and Yisurin. Why are Yisurin so Chaviv? So perhaps based on the Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara says that there are Shalosh Matanos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, that we only get Al Yidei Yisurin, and all the Umos HaOlam want it. Right? And what are they? They are, and the Umos HaOlam can't have it. Right? And they are, the Shalosh Matanos are Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba, right? So Yisurin are the most precious gifts that we can get from this world, the most precious gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give us are only acquired through Yisurin. So you see, in terms of what's valuable currency, Yisurin is apparently the most valuable currency. That's what we use to acquire the most precious gifts. So he says, Chavivin Yisurin, Kabbal Alei Tleis HaShnei, Shis Bit Samirta, V'Sheva Bit Saparna. So he was Makabal upon himself Yisurin, which he suffered for 13 years, 6 years with a disease called Samirta, which is a urinary tract, a stone in his urinary tract, v'sheva b'tzaparna, and 7 years with a disease called tzaparna, which is some sort of painful mouth disease. V'armi l'sheva b'tzamirta v'shis b'tzaparna. Some say no, it was 7 years with the urinary tract thing, 6 years with the mouth disease. So either way, ahur yare debe Rebbe hava ati mishvor malka. Rebbe's stable man, the man in charge of Rebbe's horses, was more wealthy than Shvor Malka, than King Shavur. Katavarami kistel chiyusa hava azil kala b'tlasa mili. And when he would throw the fodder, the food, to the horses, the noise that the horses would make could be heard 3 mil away. That's how many horses there were. So he would try very hard to dafka feed the horses at the time that Rebbe was going to the bathroom, because Rebbe, when he had to urinate, would scream in such pain that he didn't. It was embarrassing. So he would try to have the horses drown out the sounds of Rebbe while Rebbe was going to the bathroom by feeding the horses at that time. Nevertheless, it was unsuccessful. The Rebbe's voice was still, when he would scream, it was still even louder than their voices. And the people on the other side of the ocean heard it. Now again, we said yesterday, a lot of the phrases over here are exaggerations. Likely this is an exaggeration. It can't be the Rebbe screamed and people heard it on the other side of the ocean. The point is that it was extremely painful to listen to him scream because of his enormous pain that he was in. He was suffering tremendous yisurin. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Igros Moshe Yardei Chelak Aleph Simon Kuf Lamed Hey, where someone normally in his tshuvas people ask him halach lemaisa, but Rav Moshe wasn't only a great posek, he knew how to learn also. So people asked him so every once in a while to get a tshuva, or someone asks him pshat in the Gemara. So someone asked Rav Moshe on this this Gemara, he asked a couple of questions, but one of them that he asks is, how is it mutter for Revi to have all these horses? The halacha is, the Torah says, a melech is not allowed to be mar besusim, so if a melech is not allowed to be mar besusim, kal v'chomer, a hedyot can't be mar besusim. And Revi was a nasi, so granted he was a nasi, but how could he have all these horses? So Rav Moshe said, no, it's not a kal v'chomer, it's a melech that's not allowed to be mar besusim. Other people are allowed to be mar besusim, and the nasi does not have a din of a melech. Why is it dafka melech that can't have so many horses? Because of the gaiva element, that a melech is in a position where he's liable, where he's likely to fall into gaiva. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to keep him in check, so he's not allowed to be mar besusim. But other people are allowed to be. Rav Moshe says the only question that really begs itself is, why did Rebbe see the need for this? I mean, okay, so maybe it's aser for melech to own a Porsche, but it's not aser for a hedyot. But still, you don't want your local rabbi driving a Porsche. You know, what's he doing? Why did he see the need for it? So Rebbe did this because, Rav Moshe says, just because that's what normal rich people invested in. They bought a lot of horses. That was a normal thing for rich people to do. So that's what he did as well. And nevertheless, with all the suffering and all the pain that Rebbe suffered, the yisurin of Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon was even greater. Rabbi Shimon's yisurin would come through Ava and leave through Ava, meaning he would ask it, beg it upon himself each evening, and beg it away each morning. The Rebbe Ali De Maisa Bo Ali De Maisa Halchu. Rebbe's yisurin came as a punishment for a certain maisa that he did, and left as a reward for a certain maisa that he did. Ali De Maisa Bo Maihi. What's the maisa that it came through? There was a calf that was being led to the slaughter. And it stuck its head under Rebbe's cloak and it started to cry that it was being shechted. Rebbe said, no, don't worry, go cow, this is what you were created for. Amri, so they set up in Shemaim, he didn't have rachmanis on this cow. Nebuch, poor calf is crying, baby cow, and he's crying, and Rebbe didn't have rachmanis, so now we're going to bring Yisurin on him. Very strange Gemara, when calves can cry? Is that true? You know, dogs cry sometimes. Is that? But still, I mean, we have to worry the emotional up and down, you know, ups and down of an animal. That's really something that we're overly concerned with. So I saw the Taras Chaim explains based on the Gemara in Erev and Daf Kuf, where the Gemara tells us that even if we weren't given the Torah, there are certain midos that we would be able to learn from wildlife. We'd be able to learn tznius from this kind of animal, and you know, all these different and chesed from that kind of animal. By the hanhagos of the animals, we'd be able to learn so many different things. So says perhaps an extension of that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes makes individual animals do things in order for us to learn proper midos. Not that the animal themselves, you know, has this personality that we have to worry about. It's that we learn proper midos through looking at the animals. That's the Gemara. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein has an essay in one of his books, whether they're discussing the issue of whether there's an ethic independent of Torah, or all ethics are determined by Torah. And he says it seems like an open and shut case at the beginning, is if you just look at that Gemara, it seems that there is an ethic independent of Torah. That even had we not been given the Torah, the Gemara tells us there are certain ethical norms that we would have been able to derive just from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the Bria, into animal life. Anyway, Valide Maisa Holchem, because of a Maisa, the Yisurim left him. Yom Chalav Kansa Amasi the Rebbe Besa, Havashadi Bnei Karkusha Vakansa Lehu. Rebbe's maid was sweeping out the house, and there were a bunch of little rodents there, and she was trying to sweep them away. Amala Shafkinu, Rebbe said, yeah, leave them there. Ksiv Rachma Vakanasa, let's have Rachmanas on them. Amri, Hol Merachim, Nerachim Alei. So they said, oh, Rebbe had Rachmanas, we're going to have Rachmanas on him. Kulushani Yisurid Rav. So Rav Chil Yaakov Weinberg in Sri Deish writes that you see from here that Shchita actually is Tzar Balechayim, it's just Mutter. even though it's Tzar Bal Chaim, it's a mutter form of Tzar Bal Chaim, because see, when he wanted the animal to be shechted, that was considered to be mean to the animal, and he tells the animal to be shechted, but we're still obviously allowed to and encouraged to shecht animals. Anyway, so Kulishani Yisurid Rab Lazar Lo Shach Vinish Blo Zimnei. Throughout all the years Rab Lazar, Rabbi Shimon suffered, no one died young. Kulishani Yisurid Rabbi Lo Isrech Alma L'mitra. Through all the years of suffering of Rabbi, the world never needed rain. Rainy days stink. It's like a Yom Adin when there's a rainy day. Had it not been that the world needed rain, the Rabbanan would have davened that rain should become batel. Nevertheless, even though there was no rain during the time Rabbi was suffering, when he would pull something out of the ground, the little hole that was in the ground would immediately fill with water. Ikla Rabbi la'asas, so the ground is obviously very saturated. Ikla Rabbi la'asas Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. So Rabbi went to the town of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Amalei Yeshlo ben la'osu tzadik, and he wanted to know: does Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon have any sons? Meaning, after Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon was dead, he wanted to know: did he leave behind any son? Amalei Yeshlo ben mekalzonish neskaris b'shneim so karta b'shmona. He has a son who's such a good-looking guy that a zona who normally you have to pay two whatever of the currency to hire double the normal price of a zona in order to get her services, she would pay eight times the normal price to be able to sleep with him. He's such a good-looking guy. Asya asmichei b'Rebbe. So Rebbe found this son of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon and immediately gave him smicha. So va'ashlem el Rabbi Shimon ben Isi ben Lakunya achosti imei, and he gave him over to the hands of his uncle Rabbi Shimon ben Isi ben Lakunya to teach him Torah. The main question Rav Moshe deals with in that tshuva that I mentioned before is how is it mutter for Rebbe to give this guy smicha? I mean, obviously he wasn't quite ready for it at the time that he gave him the smicha. He was someone who was sleeping with zonas, terrible thing. So how could he give him smicha at the time? So Rav Moshe has two approaches. One is that it wasn't really smicha. They just called him Rebbe. That was just a way of encouraging him. They would call him, sometimes Rebbeim in yeshiva. They'll take the worst kid in the class and they'll call him Reb so and so. You know, just encourage him a little bit. So they called him Rebbe, but it wasn't a real smicha. He didn't actually give him, he didn't tell him yora yora. You know, he didn't tell him he should go paskan halachos. The other approach of Moshe has was a smicha al tanai. The smicha al tanai that when you go and learn and become a talmud chacham, I'm guaranteeing you, you're going to have my smicha on the signature. Rebbe says you're going to have the smicha of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. It's not so bad to get smicha of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rav Moshe, whoever asks this shayla from Rav Moshe, asks, but wait a second, gedolei amorayim never were zocher to smicha, and this guy was zocher to smicha. Why is that fair? So Rav Moshe says, why is that fair? Why is life fair? What do you mean? It's read the book of Eov and tell me why life is fair. We don't know the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why certain things happen for some people and not for others. Halavai, this should be the biggest kasha of why life isn't fair. Anyway, so Kol Yoma Hava Amar Lekaryase Ana Ezel. Every day he would say, I want to go back home. I'm not interested in learning. Amar Le Chacham Avdu Yasach V'Galusa D'Dava Parsu Alach V'Rebbe Karulach. He said, no, it's really in your best interest to continue learning. They're going to call you a Chacham. They're going to give you gold and they're going to call you Rebbe. V'At Amar Lekaryase Ana Ezel. And you want to go back home? What do you have back home? So it reminds us of Reish Lakish yesterday. Reish Lakish said, what do you mean? Before I became a rabbi, they called me Rebbe of the listim also. But he says, this guy, what do you really have? I mean, you're going to get all the covet over here. So this is Mitok Shalal Lishma. Balishma, he's encouraging him to learn Shalal Lishma, and that's what we're supposed to do. Like the Rambam writes, so you're supposed to give candies to a child to want to learn. It's not a good idea to learn just for candies. The best is to learn not for the candy. Good, but that's what we do. We give candies to the child so that he could want to learn. So you give him the kavod. When you're a little older, we bribe with kavod. Samalei mumi azuva day. He says, okay, you're right. I'm not going to say I want to go home anymore. Ki gadol asi asav masifta. When he got greater, he sat and learned in yeshiva. Derebi shamei, derebi in Rebbe's yeshiva. Shamei lekalei. Rebbe heard his voice. Amar hakala dami lekalei. Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon. Rebbe says, wow, that voice sounds like Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon's voice. Amalei berehu. They said, no, it's his son. Karilei preet sadigates chaim lokeach lefachos chacham. That's Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Lokeach nefashos chacham, zeh Rabbi Shimon ben Isi ben Lekunya. That's his uncle who taught him all this Torah. Ki nach nafshei amtu l'marasa. When he died, when Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, died, they wanted to bring him l'marasa davoy into the cave where his father and grandfather were buried. Hava hadrula achna l'marasa, and the snake surrounded the cave. Amalei achna achna psach picha v'yichonis ben eitz alaviv. Said, snake, open your mouth, let the son come be buried next to the father. Lo pasach lehu. He wouldn't open his mouth, because Kvurim Ha'am Lomar Shezeh Gadol Mizeh. Everyone thought it's because the father was greater than the son, and the son couldn't come in. Yatsa Baskol Damar Lomar Veshezeh Gadol Mizeh. El Zeh Ha'yeh B'tzar Ma'ara V'zeh Lo Ha'yeh B'tzar Ma'ara. Rav Rav Shimon was with his father, Rav Shimon Yochai, in the cave for all those years. So that's why he was Zochet to be buried in the cave. But the son never experienced that cave experience, so he wasn't Zochet. Now, because he wasn't great, he just didn't have the same life experiences. Ikla Rabbi La'asri Rabbi Tarfon, Amar Lahu, Yeshla Ben La'osa Tzadik. Rabbi then went to the place where Rabbi Tarfon was from, and he said, does that Tzadik Rabbi Tarfon have a son? Shayi Mekapeach Hezbanav. The tzaddik that used to be Mekapeach Hezbanav, Rabbi Tarfon used to say, if I'm wrong, then my children should die, or something like that. He was very confident. So Amr Lo, Ben Ein Lo, Ben Bas Yeshle. He said, well, he doesn't have a son, but he has a grandson. The Kol Zodesh and Iskaris B'Shaim Zuchat HaBishmon, and he had the same business with the Zonas. Asyul L'Kameh, so he brought him to him. So Rabbi apparently was very into being Mekarev, wayward children of rabbis. Right? So Amr Lo, Yehadar Tabach, Yivin Alach Bartai, if you do tshuva, I'll give you my daughter to marry. Unclear why he didn't make that offer the first time. Right, to the son of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. It could be his daughter wasn't of age to marry at the time, or it could be that Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon didn't need the same encouragement because his father at least was a tzaddik. Rabbi Tarfon's grandson was wayward, and Rabbi Tarfon's son wasn't a tzaddik either. So it could be that he needed this extra encouragement. Anyway, Hadarbei, so he did tshuva. Yikadarmi nasu v'girsa. Some say he married her and divorced her. Yikadarmi lo nasu v'klal. Some say he never married her at all. Why? Kadesh shleiyam Rabbi Shul zuchazar. That people shouldn't say that he only did tshuva for to be able to marry this woman. He didn't take him up on his offer at all. Tosus on yesterday's daf asked, but why did Reish Lakish take up Rabbi Yochanan on the offer? Wasn't he worried about the same thing, that they're going to say he married him on account of that? So one of the answers given is that Reish Lakish was not, his averus were not with the zonas. It wasn't in the area of arayos. It was dafka when someone whose averus were in the area of arayos, they're going to say, ah, he did tshuva because he was always into beautiful women, and now he's going to be able to marry a beautiful woman if he does tshuva. Reish Lakish was a bandit. His yetzer hara was with money and killing people or whatever and hurting people. So it had nothing to do with Araya. So no one's going to say that that was the yetzer hara that made him do tshuva. So anyway, v'lam le kulehai. Why did Rabbi keep on doing this? If you teach a son of your friend Torah, you can be zochet to sit in the yeshiva shel malach. And anyone who teaches the son of an amaretz Torah, filu kodesh baruch hu goes a gzera mevatel b'shvilo. Even if God made a gzera, you can be mevatel it on account of that zuchus. Shenemar v'im toti yakar mezalal. If you have three generations of Talmid Chachamim, the Torah is not going to leave that family, Liolam, forever. The Gemara in Bava Basra says, this is what we say, Chut HaMeshulash, Lo B'Meheri Yinatek, that a three-pronged string cannot easily be snapped, that it's a very strong rope. So, Amar Hashem, Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Arev Lach B'Davar Zeh. I'm going to be responsible to make sure that this is true. May Me'atavi Adol. What does it mean? It's forever. Amar Rabbi Yirmi Mikan Ve'Elch Torah Machzaras Alksan Yeshala. Obviously, there are no guarantees. Someone doesn't learn, they're not going to become a Talmid Chacham just because they come from three generations of Talmid Chachamim. But if he does learn, the Torah is ultimately going to always give that family opportunities to grab onto it. That family is always going to have opportunities. The Torah is always going to go after a place where it knows it's comfortable. Rav Yosef Yosef Arban Tanisa Vakaryu Lo Yemushu Mipicha. Rav Yosef sat 40 fasts and then he heard in a dream that Lo Yemushu Mipicha, that he's going to be able to retain his Torah. Yosef Arban Tanisa Achrini, and then he sat another, which is interesting because Rav Yosef toward the end of his life forgot all of his Torah. Right, Rav Yosef got sick at the end of his life and forgot all of his Torah. Okay, but we'll leave that aside now. And then he said another 40 fasts. And he heard in a dream that it's not just not going to be forgotten from him, it's not going to be forgotten from his children. It could be that Rav Yosef, yes, he forgot his Torah, but the Torah was always there for him. It's like the Gemara in Kiddushin says that the Torah is even there be'is k'nusa for a person when everything else is gone, even if he forgets his Torah, but even the shivrei luchos sheba'aron were left in the aron, even the broken luchos remained made in the Aron, because even Torah, someone who used to have Torah is deserving of kavod and gets kavod. Rav Yosef was always given the kavod. His Talmidim continued to give him the kavod even after he lost it, so it did stay with him in a certain level. Yasimeyat Anisa Achrini, he sat in 100 other fasts, Asavar Karyu, and then he heard in a dream, Lo Yimushim Pichom Pizaracha Umi Pizarazaracha. Amar Mikan Velech Lo Tzarichna, now I don't have to fast anymore. Torah Makzaras Al Tzani Shalat, that's as much as I could do. Once I have a guarantee of 3 generations of Torah, it's going to be forever. Rabbi Zerik Yisalik Larad Yisrael, Yasimeyat Anisa Lushtaka Kumar Bavla Mine, unbelievable. When he went to make Aliyah, he sat 100 fasts that he should forget Talmud Bavli. Meaning it's very difficult to adjust to the style of Talmud Yerushalmi if you get very caught up in the style of Talmud Bavli. Talmud Bavli is much less direct, much more pilpul, a lot more fighting, a lot more arguing. If you look at Talmud Yerushalmi, between each Mishnah is like a paragraph. Right? And in Talmud Bavli, it's like 10 blot between each Mishnah. It's a totally different style. So he wanted to forget the style of the Babylonian style in order to be able to absorb the Eretz Yisraelic style. So it shouldn't take up his mind. Achronisa, and he said 100 other fasts, so that Rabbi Lazar shouldn't die during his lifetime. Why? Because he didn't want all the communal responsibilities on his head during his lifetime. And he said 100 other fasts, so that the fires of Gehenim should not be sholet on him. And every 30 days he would check to make sure that fire doesn't affect him. What would he do? Sugar he would light up, fire up the oven, and he would sit inside of it and see if it burnt him. Don't try this at home. And it never worked. He never got burnt. One day the Rabbanan gave an ayin hara to him, and it burnt his legs. And they called him the little guy with the burnt legs, because he was apparently also short. Right? Rashi says the inish gutza hava. He was a short man. Rabbi Akiva says that's how he got the name Rabbi Zeira. Zeira is a contraction of the word Zeira. Zeira is small. So that's how he says that's why the pinky is called what? The Zeres. The small finger is also it's a contraction of Zeira. That's Rabbi Akiva Emden writes over here. Why did we lose Eretz Yisrael? This is appropriate for the time of year we're in now. Why did we lose Eretz Yisrael? So the Chachamim were unable to explain it. The Nevi'im were unable to explain it. Himself came along. Because they left my Torah. What does it mean they left my Torah? It's not that they weren't learning Torah, that they were not mevarich on Torah before learning it. You have the famous Ran and Maseches and Torah where this Gemara comes up. Shel beruch betorah tchila means that they didn't give the proper chashivus to Torah. They didn't hold that Torah is something that required a bracha, that required a special thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the Torah. There was no sense of chashivus given to Torah, and that lack of chashivus for Torah is what caused us to lose Eretz Yisrael. Amar Rav Chama, Ma'id Ksiv, B'leiv Navon Tanua Chachma, B'kerv Ksilim Tivada, B'leiv Navon Tanua Chachma, Zeh Talmud Chacham, Ben Talmud Chacham. That's a reference to a Talmud Chacham, the son of a Talmud Chacham, B'kerv Ksilim Tivada, and it should be known inside of fools, Zeh Talmud Chacham, Ben Amma Aretz. That's a Talmud Chacham, who's the son of an Amma Aretz. Even though he comes from nothing, he becomes a Talmud Chacham. Amar Ula, Hainu Damrienchi, Astira Bilagina, Kish Kish Karya. Meaning, what does the pasuk seem to imply? That Chachma rests by a Talmud Chacham, the son of a Talmud Chacham, but its Tivada becomes well known when the son of an Amma Aretz becomes a Talmud Chacham. Because if you take a small marble or something and put it in a big kli, so it shakes around and it rattles around and it makes a lot of noise because it's big and empty. But if you were to pull it in a full kli, it doesn't rattle around as much. So the Talmud Chacham, the son of the Talmud Chacham, is like being put into a kli that's already full. Doesn't make as much noise. Talmud Chacham ben Amar, it becomes very well known. Amar Rabbi Yirmi Labizera, Maidichsiv Katan V'Gadol Sham Hu Ve'Eved Chavshi Me'Adonav. What does the pasuk mean? Atuli Adin the Katan V'Gadol Sham Hu El Kalam Maktin Atzma Al Divrei Torah Bal Mazeh Nasa Gadol El Mavah. Anyone who humbles himself in Divrei Torah in this world is going to become a Gadol in El Mavah. Kalam Meisim Atzma Kevet Al Divrei Torah Bal Mazeh Nafsa Chavshi El Mavah. And anyone who makes himself an Eved in Divrei Torah in this world is going to become free in El Mavah. Reish Lakish Av Mitzayin Ma'arasa Derabban Reish Lakish would mark off the graves of the rabbis so people can know where they are. Now, why did he want people to know where the graves were? So Pashup Shad is whenever you're Messiah Marasa, says Rashi, Shlo Yichshlu Kohanim Lavra Leinu Lahalil, Shlo Terata Kalay De Tzadikim. That people should, Kohanim should know where the graves are, so the Kohanim should not become Tamei, because you don't want a terrible Takala to come about through Tzadikim. Tzadikim are the ones that are buried there, and it's going to be Takala. People are going to become Kohanim and become Tamei the Mace because of them. So Rish Lakish couldn't bear that, so he would mark off the graves to make sure that no Kohen would ever become Tamei to a Tzadik. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, wait a second, Kivrei Tzadikim in Metamin. What are you talking about? I thought the Kivrei Tzadikim are not Metamei. Isn't there a Maimer Chazal like that? The Kivrei Tzadikim in Metamin? So he says, no, it can't be that he would mark off the graves of Tzadikim because of Tumas Kohanim. There is no issue of Tumas Kohanim by Kivrei Tzadikim. It must be that he was marking off the graves because people needed to know where to daven, that it's a good thing to go daven by Kivrei Tzadikim, and in order for people to know where to daven, so that's why he would mark off the graves. Very controversial issue. Kivrei Tzadikim in Metamin, most assume, is not Halacha L'maisa. Right, we assume Kivrei Tzadikim are Metame. Right, you can't, if you're a Kohen, you can't go visit Kivrei Tzadikim. Anyway, Kimatal Marasi Drabchia Yalma Minei. I have an article on that topic on the website if anyone wants. Anyway, Kimatal Marasi Drabchia Yalma Minei. When he went to the cave of Rabbi Chia, he couldn't find the grave. Chalosh Daite, and he got upset. Arum Ribonishlam, Lo Pepalti Torah Kamoso. Maybe, did I not learn as much as him? Yatsa Baskal Varmelo, Torah Kamoso Pepalta, Torah Kamoso La Rivatsta. You learned as much as him, you weren't Marbitz as much as him. Kavmanatsi Rabbichanin Rabbi Chia, Amrle Rabbichanin Rabbi Chia, Badi Didi Kamenatsis. When Rabbichanin Rabbi Chia would fight in Torah, so Rabbichanin said to Rabbi Chia, you're fighting with me? Chas v'sholm m'shtach l'torah m'yisholm ha'darna l'mi pilpulei. You know how smart I am in Torah? If Torah was forgotten from Klal Yisrael, through the powers of my pilpul alone, I'd be able to bring it back. Amar lei Rabbi Chiya l'Rabbi Chanina, badi didi kamenatzis. So Rabbi Chiya was said back to Rabbi Chanina, you're fighting with me? Da'avdi l'torah d'lotishtakach m'yisrael. You have a great plan. If Torah ever gets forgotten, how you're going to bring it back? Guess what? Under my watch, Torah will never be forgotten. I'm going to make sure that it would never be forgotten. Maya vidna, azilna v'shadina kisna v'gadilna nishvi v'tzayadna tavi u'machilna b'shray liyasmi. I would go out, plant flax, and I would make from the flax traps, and I would trap deer, and the meat of the deer I would give to Yisomim. V'arichna megilsava, and I would make a cloth from the hides, v'kasavna chamisha chumshei, and I would write chamisha chumshei Torah on the hides, v'salikna l'masa, and I would find the town, and makrina chamisha yinukei, and I would teach the chamisha chumshei Torah, each to five different children, v'chamisha chumshei, u'masnisa shisha yinukei shisha sidrei, and then I would find six children, and teach each one of them one of the shisha sidrei mishnah, v'amarnilhu adadarna v'asina akra adadi v'asna adadi, and I would tell them, okay, now is chavrusa time, I'm going to leave, when I come back, I want you to have each taught each other everything that you have learned, and then that way they'll all know the Chamisha Chumshei Torah and the Shishi Sidra Mishnah. And that way, Torah won't be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Now, notice Rashi says in Masnina that he's going to teach the Mishnayis al peh. Shisha Sidre Mishnah, the Shisha Yenuke. Then he was going to teach Baal Peh, the Shisha Sidre Mishnah. When it came to the Chumash, he was going to write it down. Shisha Sidre Mishnah, he was going to teach Baal Peh. Now this was in the times of Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Chia. So Meretz Chayes points out, people make the mistake and they assume that in the times of the Amoraim, the Mishnahs were written down already. They were not. The Mishnayos were written down much later generations, either in the later generations of Amoraim, or Meretz Chai says perhaps even after the times of the Amoraim, that the Mishnayos were actually written down. Rebbe was Mesader the Mishnayos. He wasn't Kosev the Mishnayos. He arranged them, he organized them, he didn't write the Mishnayos. Meretz Chai discusses this a lot in the Sefer Torah and Nevi'im. In the back of the Gemara over here, he discusses it very briefly. Anyway, Haynu Damar Rebbe, Kama Gadol Maisei Chia. That's why they say how great the Maisim of Chia are. Amalei Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Afilu Mimar? Are they even greater than you? Amalei In, he said, yeah, Afilu Me'aba? Are they greater than your father? Than my father? Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says, is Rabbi Chia greater than my father? So Amalei Chas V'Shalom Lotei Kazos B'Yisrael. No, 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 he's not greater than Rabbi Yossi. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Emesh Nirali Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, Amarti Lo Etzel Miyata Takua. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina appeared to me in a dream. You know, he was dead already, and I said, who are you sitting next to in the Olam HaEmes? Amar Li Etzel Rabbi Yochanan. Next to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Etzel Mi, and who's Rabbi Yochanan next to? Etzel Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai Etzel Mi, Etzel Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina Etzel Mi, Etzel Rabbi Chia. Amarti Lo Rabbi Yochanan Etzel Rabbi Chia Lo. Rabbi Yochanan is not allowed to sit next to Rabbi Chia. Amar Li, Ba'esod Zekukin Denura, Ubu'urin Da'asha, Man Ma'ayil Bar Nafcha L'taman. In a place where there's so much fire, who can bring the son of the blacksmith over here, which was Rabbi Yochanan? Amar Rav Chaviva Ishtayli Rav Chaviva Bar Surmaki Chazilei Humei Rabbanu Davashchiach Eliyahu Gabei Dilitzafra Havu Shapiran Enei Uluor Tadamion Kidmiklin Benura. That I saw a rabbi that every day, that in the morning, that every day Eliyahu would visit him, and in the morning his eyes looked fine, and then in the evening when I saw him again, it looked like they were burned with fires. Amalei, my high, says, what's going on with you? Why are your eyes like that? Vamalei, Da'amilei Eliyahu Achvili Rabbanu Kisalkin Mesifta Derekia. I said to Eliyahu Anavi, I want to see what the rabbis look like in the Mesifta Derekia. So Amalei, he told me, you can look at everything, but don't look at the throne that Rabbi Chiya sits on. It's a little testacle, but you can't look at that. How am I going to know which one is Rabbi Chiya's throne? All the other rabbis, they have malachim picking them up onto their thrones and taking them off of their thrones. Rabbi Chiya goes all on his own. This is midah k'neged midah, because Rabbi Chiya was the one who said that I would see on my own, let the Torah not be forgotten from Klal Yisrael, by doing all the legwork myself. I would plant the flax, I would write the scrolls, I would write, doing everything himself. So he himself had the independence up in the Olamemes as well. He said, I couldn't help myself though, very reminiscent of the story with Acher, right, with the Dalit Shinuchnus of the Pardes. It's very hard not to look when you're given the opportunity. So I looked at it, also Trebutiti Dinura Machiu Lahu Gavra V'samnu La'ene, and two things of fire came out and hit my eyes. And the next day I went to his grave. Amina Masniyasa Demar Masnina, I said, look, it's your teachings, your Mishnais that I'm teaching. Vastai. And that way I got better. So I was healed, but the marks you can still see. And that's why my eyes look a little bit funny today. Okay, we'll stop there. Next story, Be'ez Hashem, will pick up tomorrow. We almost made it.